We are in Councils for the Church, page 193, paragraph 3. This one's titled, "To allow children to grow up in ignorance is a sin." And then she says, "Some parents have failed to give their children a religious education and have also neglected their school education. Neither should have been neglected. Children's minds will be active, and if not engaged in physical labor or occupied with study, they will be exposed to evil influences. It is a sin for parents to allow their children to grow up in ignorance. They should supply them with useful and interesting books and should teach them to work, to have hours for physical labor, and hours to devote to study and reading. Parents should seek to elevate the minds of their children and to improve their mental faculties. The mind left to itself, uncultivated, is generally low, sensual, and corrupt. Satan improves his opportunities and educates idle minds." You know, like we've always heard the term, the idle hands or a devil's play shop. And boy, is it ever, right? Because like when I was a teen growing up, you just sat around and grew hair, because that's what it was in the 70s, you know. And it was all I could do to get off the couch. I mean, in winter. In summer, yeah, I was outside. I was outside all the time, and I wasn't looking for no job. You know, I wouldn't mind getting a job in winter, but in summer, no. I didn't. I wanted to be out playing frisbee during the day and shooting pool at night. And because you know, idle hands. And I never really put, and this is what gets me, and I praise God for it too, because had I gone in a different direction, maybe I might not have found Christ the way I did and needed to. And a lot of my friends started getting careers and stuff, and I never let it faze me. I never thought, well, you know, and I wasn't the kind of guy to go, I'd start rubbing shoulders with the, you know, the highfalutin types, you know, the guys with their noses in the air, or the socias, we used to call them, socialites. I never, you know, I didn't make friends because of what they had in their pockets. I made friends because, you know, they had a personality that I liked or whatever. You know, that's all. Even though most of the guys I hung with were, you know, lowlifes like me, and so they, it was just strange how it literally, you could see it, how when you don't have something to do, if you're not able to be kept busy, you're gonna find things to do, and it's usually the devil's gonna talk you into doing these things. And so, but when it's a little kid, a child, you know, I praise God too, though, that we, you know, because many of you have done the same thing too with the homeschooling thing and the home church thing, because there's really nowhere else to go. And you don't have to be a theologian, and you certainly don't have to be a scientist or a professor to be able to educate your children in the ways of the Lord or in the ways of the world. And when I say the ways of the world, you only need the 3 R's, reading, writing, and arithmetic. Okay, so I misspelled one of them, but that's how they always say it. And so, but yeah, that's the basics. And when I look at the way my kids worked out and other kids that I know that did the homeschooling, most of them, you know, far supersede that of the, you know, the public school system and even the private school system. But that's going to be a no-brainer because of the fact that what they teach in the schools today literally dumbs everybody down. And so they generate idle hands, especially when you get into the inner city. And I know this from the Chicago area too. They will literally pass kids. They did it to me. One of the teachers literally gave me a D minus just so I wouldn't be in her class next year, because she knew I was a sophomore at this time. We just moved to the area. I would come into her class. It was the first class of the day. I'd put my head down on the desk and just start snoring. 45 minutes later, the bell goes off, I'm out of there. And I did that all year. The only time I woke up is when we would put the chairs in circles and, you know, act like we were different countries and start wars. That's when I started really getting into history. I says, well, that makes sense. Yeah, you got to start a war to make money. And like the game of Risk, if you will. Mrs. C, it was her name, and it wasn't Cunningham. You know, it was just Mrs. C. I don't remember her last name. But she literally passed me just so I wouldn't come in her class next year. But in the inner city, that's how all the kids use. I mean, there's kids literally graduating without the ability to read. They're graduating grade school and then high school without reading at all. In high school, you know, they can read a stop sign. That's about it, you know, or street signs and stuff like that. Yeah, and how do you do that? I mean, these kind of kids, oh, yeah, you'll see them buying GPSs left and right because they can't read some of the street signs. You know? And so that will generate an idle mind as well, because if there's no authority in the school, no teachers telling you to do your homework, what do you think you're going to be doing when you get home? You're eventually going to drop out of school because all the guys that dropped out of school before you are out there making tens of thousands of dollars per month selling dope. And so, you know, these kids are going to gravitate in that section, in that direction. So she goes on to say that the mother's work commences with the infant. She should subdue the will and temper of her child and bring it into subjection, teach it to obey. As the child grows older, relax not the hand. Every mother should take time to reason with her children, to correct their errors, and patiently teach them the right way. Christian parents should know that they are instructing and fitting their children to become children of God. The entire religious experience of the children is influenced by the instructions given and the character formed in childhood. Yeah, so there's a lot to be said too about, like, because I've seen parents do that or do this, and they still do it to this day. Of course, they read things to their children while they're in the womb. They sing to their children while they're in the womb. You know, they get the kids used to, even though the kid doesn't really understand a lot, but it's a human brain. It's going to have memories, and some of the stuff they're going to be able to pick up a little easier when they step out, literally. And so I think it's smart to still, well, depending upon what you're reading, you know, I think it would be good to read scripture to the child that's in the womb, and of course have scripture music playing while mom's sleeping or whatever the case may be. So, but she says, if the will is not then subdued and made to yield to the will of the parents, it will be a difficult task to learn the lesson in after years. What a severe struggle. What a conflict to yield that will which never was subdued to the requirements of God. Seriously, you can't get the kid to lift a finger in the house later on when they're a teenager. They're not going to get a job. They don't, no matter how much you try to force them. You know, like when I was growing up, it was, you know, yeah, I'll get a job when I feel like it kind of a thing. You know, didn't really have any desire. And but then there was no structure in the house either. You know, this the dysfunctional thing that many kids go through. I mean, it was love. It was just, it wasn't one where you were knocked down, drag out, fighting all day long. Although there was a lot of arguments, it was a very angry house. But there were times that, you know, you had fun and stuff, like just like a normal family. You weren't crazed or anything like that. All doing drugs and whatever, I mean, catatonic as people come in to visit. Because I know some families that were like that, and the kids that weren't trained in the way they should go. It always saddens my heart when I think of Jimmy Kuchan, and I can say his name because he doesn't even know what the internet is. I wouldn't think. He's been in prison since he's 17, 18. No, I think he was 20 when he murdered his wife and his baby. And this is a guy that I met when I was a kid, and we hung out together, had a good time together. Talk about dysfunctional families. He was bound to go in that direction. He had nothing but idle time, nothing but it. He's the one that taught me how to steal when I was a kid. You start off with a candy bar, and before you know it, you're driving off with somebody's car. It just keeps escalating, and he was good at it. I mean, he never got caught. His little brother got caught, but he would throw things at the floor walkers and run out of the store because he was just as bad as his other brother. The only difference was he never killed anybody. And so it can get bad because these are humans. They're working viable minds that God has given them, and if they're not instructed properly, they're going to go in a direction that's never going to be good. Now, praise God, there are some kids out there that, you know, had alcoholic parents or drug, you know, addicted parents that looked upon that situation and said, yeah, I don't want any part of that. I'm not going to be like that. Well, praise God for that kind of a mind to where they know that that's wrong to do. But most kids will figure, well, you know, if mom and dad do it, you know, no big deal, I'll do it. Because that's usually the direction they're going to go. It's just like with anything else. They, like some people say, oh, cancer is hereditary, or this disease is hereditary. It says, no, it's not. The diet is hereditary. Mom and dad fed that to you because that's what they ate. You, your mom and dad got that cancer. Well, you're going to get the same cancer because you're eating the same garbage that they that's the hereditary thing, if you want to call it that, because of what they're eating. That's what they were taught to eat. Anyway, she goes on to say, the parents who neglect this important work commit a great error and sin against their poor children and against God. Parents, if you fail to give your children the education which God has made it your duty to give them, you must answer to him for the results. These results will not be confined merely to your children. As the one thistle permitted to grow in the field produces a harvest of its kind, and for those of you who've ever worked in a garden, you know what she's talking about there. You get one weed in a garden. If you turn around and walk away, you come back a couple, 3 days later. Yeah, it's hard to tell the difference between the weed and your crops if they're young enough. So anyway, she says, so the sins resulting from your neglect will work to ruin all who come within the sphere of their influence. The curse of God will surely rest upon unfaithful parents. Not only are they planting thorns, which will wound them here, but they must meet their own unfaithfulness when the judgment shall sit. Many children will rise up in judgment and condemn their parents for not restraining them and charge upon them their destruction. The false sympathy and blind love of parents causes them to excuse the faults of their children and pass them by without correction. And their children are lost in the consequence. And the blood of their souls will rest upon the unfaithful parents. And that kind of reminds me of, you know, the prophet Eli and his sons and how he let them run willy-nilly. And but then the other toss of the coin is the sons of Aaron. Because, you know, Aaron raised them up the best he could, but they went in a direction that they shouldn't have. But then again, Aaron was kind of a little wishy-washy in the beginning as well, because he kind of let them talk him into putting up that golden calf. So what are you going to do there? So let's go to the next one here. It says the evil idleness. Hopefully we can get through this one, because I forgot to look at the clock to see when we started, so let's just do this one next. But she says, I have been shown that much sin has resulted from idleness. Active hands and minds do not mind to heed every temptation which the enemy suggests, but idle hands and brains are all ready for Satan to control. The mind, when not properly occupied, dwells upon improper things. Parents should teach their children that idleness is sin. There is nothing which more surely leads to evil than to lift all burdens from children, leaving them to an idle, aimless life, to do nothing or to occupy themselves as they please. And I got to admit, you know, we kind of messed up there. At least I know I did. The kids here had a little bit more chores. We gave them a little bit too easy duty sometime. And but there shouldn't have been the opportunity for the idleness. But, you know, hindsight's always 20/20. And so I praise the Lord for forgiveness and answering prayer and guiding the children the way they should go now. But it's like we all say the same thing. If we can go back in time, yeah, but not much you can do there. She says that the minds of children are active, and if not occupied with that which is good and useful, they will eventually turn to what is bad. While it is right and necessary for them to have recreation, they should be taught to work, to have regular hours for physical labor, and also for ready for reading and study. See that they have employment suited to their years and are supplied with useful and interesting books. Children frequently begin a piece of work. Now, let me stop there for a minute anyway, because I think it's still a good idea to this day to give children books, useful books, like she's saying here, like especially scripture. But today, especially if the kids, if the household is such where you have to put the kids in public school and stuff like that, I can't imagine how crazed it's got to be in the high schools right now when I think of how bad it was in the 70s and we didn't have, you know, computers that we had in our palms of our hands that people call cell phones today. The computers and the cell phones today blow the doors off of that stuff that I was working on in the green screen days. 1,000 times more powerful. thousands of times, actually, because now we used to measure things back then in kilobytes. Now it's gigabytes and terabytes, no less, that you're measuring things with computers. And the CPUs, forget about it. I think the first green screen computer I worked on was 3 megahertz, a whopping 3. And then they came out with a 3.8 or 3.9. It was almost 4 megahertz. You know, 4. Now you're in gigs of, you know, this is little dinky things or kilowatts or whatever. And it is amazing how just that little bit of a change on the CPU made the game unplayable. It just went too fast. You could not play the game. They had software that you could slow the game down with. And that was just one small jump. Now, today, and these like little letters and stuff moving on the screen. You didn't even have graphics back then. You had like an X. That was your character. Or the letter O. There's the other character. And so, but now, today, it's like, oh, graphics. And so I can't imagine what it's got to be like in the high schools or even the grade schools, because some of the parents are giving kids phones when they're like 8, 9, 10 years old. You don't seem to realize how dangerous that is. These kids have access to porn. I mean, let's just go there, right? They can access any porn site for free using a cell phone. And if mom and dad block it out, guess what? Little Johnny sitting next to little Mabel there knows how to get around the parental lock. There's kids in grade school that know how to root a cell phone. And so they're very, very popular in the schools, no matter how nerdy or geeky they claim to be. So it's got to be insane. And you talk about idle hands then. Because well, he's not got idle hands. He's sitting there texting. And yeah, that's what the idle hands bring to. Yeah, that too. Yeah. You could bypass all sorts of filters with the virtual networks and stuff like that and proxies. So, yeah, and I can only imagine what it was like for you, like Alex, and anybody else that was, you know, in high school and has an understanding of computers and how they can work. And, man, so keep your children in prayer. But she goes on to say that children frequently begin a piece of work with enthusiasm, but becoming perplexed or wearied with it, they wish to change and take hold of something new. Thus, they may take hold of several things, meet with a little discouragement, and then give them up. And so they pass from one thing to another, perfecting nothing. Parents should not allow the love of change to control their children. They should not be so much engaged with other things that they will have no time to patiently discipline the developing minds. A few words of encouragement or a little help at the right time may carry them over their trouble and discouragement, and the satisfaction they will derive from seeing the task completed that they undertook will stimulate them to greater exertion. And that I can relate to in a big way, because I used to do that. I used to go, oh, if I can't figure it out, I'm going to the next thing. Not even trying to get to the point. And I can see the Lord's hand, too, in my life in regards to the computers, because when I first started getting onto the computers, I couldn't figure them out. I mean, the very first command I ever wrote on a computer was draw a house. It was a VIC-20. 3 gigs. No, I'm sorry. 3K of RAM. K. Yes, for those of you who know what computers, K, I'm not kidding you. Crazy, but it worked very fast, because when you wrote the software, it was running instantly. There was no spinning hard drives, nothing. It was just running. But as soon as you shut the computer off, everything's gone. The thing that got me was I finally figured out what syntax error meant, because I put draw a house, and then it came back syntax error. Okay, what is syntax? I know what error means, but what is syntax? I didn't know that you get taxed for the sins you commit. That's first thought. Even though they misspell sin, I thought S-Y-N instead of S-I-N. But syntax is syntax. It's just, you know. But anywho, it really does bless the heart of young people when they get over a hurdle. And it doesn't always have to be. Well, see, when I look back, I can't see, like, oh, wow, I finally figured out how to divide. whoop-de-doo, I can pass a test now, maybe, but I'm thinking I'm not going to use this in life, even though you do, you know. But I didn't think it'd get any great joy in that. But I know there are some kids that would. Let's say they're into mathematics and stuff like that, and then they go far with that because they get into science or binary, you know, machine language for computers that goes beyond writing code. But the thing is, when I would build a subroutine, like, you know, when I would write some code and it actually worked, it was like, whoa, that used to get me going. And so I just bathed myself in that. And so I can see how what she's saying here, that, yeah, the satisfaction they will derive from seeing the task completed that they undertook will stimulate them to greater exertion. And so their focus has to be, of course, in an area that they should be focusing, but still, she goes on to say that children who have been petted and waited upon always expect it. And if their expectations are not met, they are disappointed and discouraged. This kind of reminds me of a young man that, and this always irked me about this, because I saw how the mother did this and I saw how the sisters did this, because I hung with the brother. He was a buddy of mine. And his little brother, there was nothing wrong with the guy. He had gray matter. I mean, he had enough information between his ears. I mean, the guy used to run. He got into messing with, the small airplanes, the model aircraft. You know, what did they call those? We had the airplane flying field out there in our neighborhood. There was this big open field that in the summer you flew airplanes, and then in the winter you did the snowmobiles. But he got that down. He understood it. So you could tell there was nothing wrong with him. But the way he was coddled, he expected. Now he's in his 40s, and he still. And his mom just died recently, about 5-10 years ago, maybe. And he still, to this day, expects to be coddled hand and foot, because that's how he was raised. And I know, because I know his brothers. And he's just like his brothers. But this one was coddled for some odd reason. I think maybe it's because the other kids went so off the deep end and had crazy lives that she didn't want that to happen to this one, so she petted him and waited upon him hand and foot. And that destroyed this kid. So she says the same disposition will be seen through their whole lives. They will be helpless, leaning upon others for aid, expecting others to favor them and yield to them. And this is exactly what this guy is like to this day. Nothing wrong with him at all. He just sits around all day. And if no one brings him lunch, he ain't eating. He won't get off that couch and walk across the room and make a meal, or get a job for that matter. Because when he was young, he was coddled and petted and waited upon. And then she says, and if they are opposed, even after they have grown to manhood and womanhood, they think themselves abused, and thus they worry their way through the world, hardly able to bear their own weight, often murmuring and fretting because everything does not suit them. And some people might think she's exaggerating. But if you ever met somebody like this guy that I'm talking about, you'd know for a fact she's not exaggerating in the least. That does happen. Wow, I got to tell you, the experiences that I've seen, I praise God for them, you know, when I think about this. But his name's John. And they still call him this day Johnny, except for the one brother that I know. He calls him Johnny. Or no, he calls him John, but everybody in the family calls him Johnny. You know, Johnny, little Johnny, even though he's a grown man. So she says, a woman does herself and her family a serious wrong when she does her work and theirs too. When she brings the wood and the water, even takes the axe to prepare the wood, while her husband and sons sit about the fire having a social, easy time. God never designed that wives and mothers should be slaves to their families. Many a mother is overburdened in care, with care, while her children are not educated to share the domestic burdens. As a result, she grows old and dies prematurely, leaving her children just when a mother is most needed to gather inexperienced feet. Who is to blame? Husbands should do all they can to save the wife's care and keep her spirit cheerful. Never should idleness be fostered or permitted in children, for it soon becomes a habit. And again, she nails this right on the head, because of the way Johnny was raised. He was raised that way because After he was born, 4 or 5 years after he was born, the dad was gone. He took off. He just left the family. And then I started, and that's when I met them. And that was the first time I ever saw, because I saw the stuff with Kuchan and that guy that killed that girl and all that. I saw that with his dysfunctional family. But at least they had somewhat of a household because dad was there, mom was there, even though they were both drug addicts, heroin. And but it was a South Side neighborhood in a suburb. It wasn't no inner city stuff. These were kind of like you would think, a normal mom and pop, you know, middle class. But no, you get up and close and see what's going on. They were, it was bad. But then when I went over to this one kid where Johnny lived, to go visit his brother, I remember one time that's the kid I always tell you about that I happened to pull in the driveway because I was looking for the older brothers. And there was this kid on the front lawn getting shoved around by these big, you know, these teenagers. And I come up and I says, you can get out of here. There's a little kid. Get out of here. So I shoot him away. And I kind of like took this kid under my wing. His name was Jimmy. And we became friends. And I still talk to him to this day, even though he's got big problems. And I pray for him a lot. And he was healed of cancer because the church family prayed for him some years ago. But I remember when I walked in his house the first day looking for his brother, I had to get a guitar or something like that because I was into the rock scene back then. And because they were into it. The basement was filled with all sorts of their toys. Talk about idle hands. It was rock music for them and the porn thing. But you walked in the living room. Door was wide open. There was a couch. And that was it. And I'm thinking, all the cabinets were open. Nothing in the cabinets. Fridge empty. Nothing. I said, how do you live like this? Where's the mom? She's at work. She did everything, and the kids did nothing. And it was all because the man left the house. And this is what you see, like, with a lot of these inner-city families. And it doesn't matter what color your skin is, either. A lot of people seem to think, it's only the black kids. No, it ain't. You got a lot of all different color, you know, kids or their parents or their dads take off. Or they'll get married to somebody else. It doesn't matter what color your skin is. It's just these dads, they're just like the government calls them deadbeats when they don't even help their families and they just take off. And it destroys the family. And everything gets dumped on the woman. It's not designed to be all on her. But praise God, there are some godly women out there that can pick it up from there. But it's going to tear them up. It's going to tear them up because they're not designed that way. So keep them in your prayers for those of you that know, because we know we have some mothers in the church family have to deal with that. And there's not much you can do when the father is, like a quote-unquote deadbeat. Not much you can do there. So keep your brothers and sisters in prayer. Because sooner or later, we're all going to be home and not even think about dysfunctional families. We're going to be in the eternal family, happy as larks for all eternity. So amen to that. And I hope and pray you were blessed. If you can kneel. Let's finish in prayer. Wow, 9:20 and it's like it's midnight outside. Winter's a-coming. So please bow your hearts. Heavenly Father, thank you once again for blessing us with your presence as we went into Sister White's writings here tonight and kind of saw things of ourselves that we need to correct. And seek forgiveness for things of our past that we can't correct because it's way, 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 way long ago. Thank you for hindsight being 2020 and blessing us with opportunities to fix what we can. And at the same time, please bless our children and our children's children because we have many and not all of us, myself included, have raised our children the way they should go. We know that now. And so thank you for forgiving us and blessing them. And please bless everyone that's on our prayer list, especially those that were mentioned in the chat room tonight with the private request and everyone that's dealing with the cleanup in Hurricane Harvey or the forest fires in Los Angeles or the situation that's headed towards Florida right now, as well as what's coming right behind it. Jose, I guess they're saying it is a tornado behind Irma that's going to do it's already a Category 4 from what I hear. And so, Father, thank you for letting us be alive in these times and see these things, but at the same time, thank you for giving us that which we need to go forth and proclaim the truth so that it's to help as many as we possibly can see what time it really is. So give us the opportunity to share this present truth and bless us in the name of your Son, who's our Savior and King, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen. And every time I get done praying and I turn my head to the left to get up because I got to stay close to the mic, I always hit. Because these new headphones that came with the mic, they're huge. They stick out the side of my head like two grapefruits. And it's just, boom, it hits that the microphone every time. Well, it hits the pop guard. So, anyway, hope and pray you were blessed.